Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. We're going to look at verse number 23 to start off with this morning. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. Our theme for this year is a heart for God, and a lot of our Sunday morning messages since the beginning of the year have been directed towards this idea of the heart. Now, when we think about the word heart, God's not talking about here as the blood pumping organ that you have inside your chest. The Bible is talking about the center of your life. And this morning we're going to look a little bit about how to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23, the Word of God says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the sermon. Lord, we're asking that you speak to people's hearts today. Lord, help us to see the importance of keeping our heart clean and undivided, but Lord, instead, focus on you. Lord, help us to see different things we need to guard our heart against. And Lord, speak to our hearts about areas in our life, Lord, that we might need to work on. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's unsaved, not sure if they're going to heaven when they die, Lord, I pray that through the preaching of your word, they see their need and they call out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the number one killer in the Western world over the last two decades have been heart disease. And many of us have been touched by at least one family member or friend that has had problems or some type of symptoms of dealing with heart disease. And the longer I work, the longer I pastor, the more I understand that not only is it a heart disease for physical things of dealing with your heart, there's also a heart disease when it comes to spiritual things too. I believe that the heart is always the heart of the matter. If there is a problem, it's always a heart problem. And it's something that's important that we understand and that we get inside our minds is that we need to guard our hearts. The Bible uses the word here, keep thy heart. This word keep means to preserve or maintain. If you think about what it talks about in the Beatitudes when it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That word pure literally means the undivided. That means that they have a heart for God, that their heart is not distributed and their heart is not on many things, but is focused on one thing. And as believers, we must learn to take our heart and diligently guard it and daily guard it and be cooperative with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's important that we get this and understand this thought, that our heart is not just some type of organ in our body when the Bible's talking about. It's speaking of the different things in the Bible. There's three different thoughts. Our hearts in the Bible talks about how it expresses thought. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Also, our heart expresses emotion. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me." The Bible also says the heart expresses a will. The Bible says, "Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart?" The heart that we're talking about having for God is one that is the center of our lives. Warren Wiersbe puts it this way, it's the master control unit of the body. The heart controls our thoughts, it controls our emotions, and controls our will. This is the heart that we're focusing on today. This is the heart that we need to maintain and preserve. And when the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence," and that word diligent means a constant effort, that if you really want to have a heart for God and you really want to keep your heart clean and undivided, it's going to be a constant effort. There's going to be certain guidelines and certain guard things that we need to guard our heart against. And it's a constant effort to accomplish whatever is being undertaken. And that's what the Bible is saying, is that we need to maintain and we need to preserve our heart with constant effort. So here's a couple thoughts here for this morning. Is first of all, why must you guard your heart? Why must you guard your heart? Number one underneath that is, it's because it's the issue, because out of it is the issues of life. Your heart determines your emotions, your heart determines your thoughts, your heart determines everything that you're going to do. It determines your actions. And the Bible says that from your heart comes the issues of life. Say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, think about what the Bible says in Mark chapter 7. Jesus himself said, "That which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile man. What the Bible is teaching us there is that from our heart is what the real issues of life is. You got a problem with, they listed a multitude of things, you know, evil thoughts. You have a problem with adultery, you have a problem with fornication, you have a problem with lying. That comes from your heart. You say, no, Pastor, it comes from the outward circumstances I have. They're the reason why I get angry. They're the reason why I lose my patience. They're the reason why I do this, this, and this. Now, the Bible teaches us that we need to keep our heart with all diligence because the issues that we have in our life, and we all have issues. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. We all have problems. We all have things that we struggle with. The issues of life, they all come from our heart. A lack of faithfulness, a lack of willingness, a lack of surrender, a lack of whatever it is that you have. The Bible says it's an issue of the heart. So one of the reasons why we must guard our heart is because of the issues of life come out of it. Secondly, because your heart is deceitful. You can't trust it. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know your own heart, the Bible's saying. But the Lord does. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So what the Bible is saying here is that we should try our hearts because they're desperately wicked. They are able to deceive us into believing something. Thirdly, you must guard your heart not just because of the fact the issues of life come out of it because it's deceitful, but because things can turn your heart from God. Things can turn your heart from God. Go ahead and take your Bibles and let's look at a Bible character this happened to. First Kings, turn your Bible to First Kings. First Kings chapter number 11. Here's the main gist of the message is, if our heart is divided and it's not solely focused on God, the things that we give our heart's attention to is what these things can do. They can draw us away from God. And in 1 Kings chapter number 11, we have a story of the man who actually wrote the verse earlier. Keep thy heart with all diligence. We have Solomon here who wrote that verse, but we see in Solomon's life, he did not keep his heart. He did not guard his heart. He did not protect his heart. And in 1 Kings chapter number 11, we see Solomon allow something to come into his life which pulled his heart away from God. Now, I think Solomon was one of the most privileged men to ever live. He got to live in the household of David. The Lord came to him and asked him what he desired. He did not pick riches. He did not pick wealth. He did not pick power. He said, Lord, I need wisdom. And the Lord gave him wisdom. He is a great man of privilege. But here in 1 Kings chapter number 11, we see he did not guard his heart. It says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon claved unto these in love. So what God had gave a directive, gave a commandment, he told the nation of Israel, look, you're not supposed to go over and marry these other nations. He says, because what these other nations will do is they will take your heart that is supposed to be mine and they will draw you away from the heart of me for me and give you a heart that has to deal with for other gods. Look what it says in verse number 3. And he had, now get this, he had 700 wives. 700 wives. Can you imagine that? Men, can you imagine trying to keep 700 wives happy? Some of you struggle keeping one happy. So 700 wives and princesses and 300 concubines. Now look at this next phrase. And his wives turned away his heart. Now here's the thought. Things that we allow to get our focus and allow to get our attention and our emotions, they can turn our heart away from God. Look what it says in verse number 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart from his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. Listen to that phrase again. That his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God. Now, one of the reasons why we need to guard our hearts, we need to try to maintain it, need to try to preserve it, is because if we allow things into our lives that will draw our hearts away from God, it's a dangerous path. Satan knows that if he can get us to fall in love with the things of this world, he has placed us on a path of ruin. Satan knows that if he can get our eyes off of God and on something else, he can take us down a pathway to where our heart will be drawn away from God. Now, this does not just apply to wicked things and evil things. This can even apply to good things. Anything that takes the rightful place of God in our lives is dangerous. And we need to be continuing in our walk with God to help us see our need is to have a heart for him. Say, Pastor, you've gone pretty quickly here. And there's a reason why we've gone quickly is because I want you to get this understanding. And I want to set up some principles here, some things we need to guard our heart against. But why do we need to guard our hearts? Number one, because the issues of life come out of it. Who you are is what your heart is. Every problem you have in your life is a heart issue. How you respond, how you act, things you don't like, it's from within. But also, the things of this world can take your heart and pull you away from God. Solomon was here, a young man, he started well. God even allowed him to build the great first temple. I mean, he was doing well. Wealth was all around. The nations were, no one was attacking him. Everything was going great. So he began to allow women to distract him and to pull his heart away from God. So instead of his heart being focused on God, he began to become focused on what the Bible calls strange women. And that's in reference to those that do not know God and know his God, and those that do not act like they know his God. And he began to focus and he began collecting them. And this desire of his began to collect all types of women. You have those from Egypt. You have those from Moab, those from Amnon, those from the Hittites. And he began collecting all these women until he ended up with 1,000 of them. And you say, what's wrong with having a wife or having friends? There's nothing wrong with it as long as you do not allow them to pull you away from God. Now, there is something wrong with having 1,000. That's for sure. I think we would all agree with that. But there's nothing wrong with having friends and having a husband or a wife, but they must have the right priority in your life, and that is secondary to God. So the first thing is, why do we need to protect our heart or guard our hearts? The second thing is, what you must guard your heart from. And this is where I want to spend most of the time at this morning. What do you need to guard your heart from? Say, Pastor, I get it. Okay, God's supposed to be number one in my life. My heart is supposed to be for God. How do I guard my heart? Well, we need to learn how to guard it from the different things in this world. The first thing we'll look at is we need to guard our heart from seeing wicked things. We need to guard our heart from seeing wicked things or lust. You think about it. What got Solomon in trouble? What got Solomon in trouble was his eyes. He began lusting after these women. And if we truly want to have our heart for God, we're going to have to set up some barriers. We're going to have to set up some guidelines and some walls of protection that are surrounding our heart. And one of the things we need to make sure that we do is set some guidelines about looking at wicked things. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And you say, Pastor, I don't get what you're saying. Everything you let it come into your eye gates is something that can fight for attention of your heart. And we need to learn to protect our hearts from the different things that we see. Job put it this way. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? That Job said, hey, look, I made a promise with my eyes. I made a promise to God. I'm not going to look at a woman to lust after her. And you say, Pastor, that's obvious. And we know that. Well, do you have your guard up? Gentlemen, do you have something protecting you from seeing those things that are what the Bible would consider wicked? The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before thine eye. And I wonder if the things we watch on the TV or the things that we look at in the magazines or the people that we watch or we look at, have we really set up some guidelines? Have we set up some walls of protection? Are there guards in our lives for us? Ladies, is there guards in your lives of your husbands? Is there guards in our lives for our teenage boys and teenage girls? Pornography is a horrible, horrible problem in the day and time that we live in. And that's not just for men, but that's also for women. But that's not just for adults. That's especially for teenagers and children in the day and time we live at. We need to set some guidelines. The Bible says, keep thy heart, maintain thy heart, preserve your heart. How are you going to do that? It's by setting up some guidelines, setting up some different guards in our lives to say, hey, I can't look at that. I can't go there. I can't watch that. I can't be a part of that because there's wicked things I'm going to see when I go to those places. And we need to do that. And you say, Pastor, these are all things we heard before. Well, Pastor, is this truth to us? Are we really keeping our heart with all diligence, or have we allowed our walls to start to shrink down to where we'll look at certain things on TV, or we'll start going to certain places? We'll start watching things or looking at things. Are you keeping your heart with all diligence? Second thing, the love of money or possessions. The love of money or possessions. If we're going to guard our heart, if we're going to make sure there's not something pulling us away from God. Remember, because we learned already that things can pull us away from God. Those 700 women, those 300 concubines, they pulled Solomon's heart that once was with God. It pulled it right from God. One of the things in this world that can pull us away from God is the love of money and the love of possessions. The Bible even says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, we need to say, hey, in my life, what is pulling my heart from God? Is the love of money or possessions? What is the thing that you think most about? That is the thing you care most about. That is the thing you love the most. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure at today? What is it that you think on? That is the thing that you care the most about. The Bible says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. God has given us all a life to live. He has given us that we should steward this life. And this life is not ours, but if we're a Christian, it is God's life, and we should live it for him. And our life is so much more important than the things that you have. You know, you seen that bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys win? You know, to be honest with you, guess because you die with the most toys, what's that going to profit you? It profits you nothing. Your life is so much more valuable than what type of car you drive, or what type of house you own, or what type of clothes you wear. Your life is so much more. And that's what the Bible is saying here. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Church, are we really guarding our hearts? The only way we're ever going to have a heart for God, the only way our affections are going to be the right spot, is if we learn to put up some guidelines in our life and some guards in our life. And those things that we desire, have they come in a spot before God? Next thing, what should you guard your heart from? Not only lust and the love of money, another thing is bitterness. You need to guard your heart against bitterness. It's not just those things that we would consider wickedness and sin, but bitterness is a sin that takes away the joy of the Christian living in so many people's hearts. The Bible even says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I don't know about you, but when you talk to somebody who's upset or somebody who's bitter, you know how they respond? I'm not bitter. And they say it angrily. They say it upset. And you know that there's something wrong and they just refuse to deal with it. The Bible says we need to guard our hearts. Oh, I'm not angry. I'm not mad. But their whole actions, their whole essence, everything about that has caused, and you can see, hey, look, there's a problem. Somebody needs to deal with it. Somebody needs to fix it. We need to get this right. We need to get this right before God. And you know what? Sooner or later, that bitterness, you know what it will do? It will pull you away from God. Just like the love of money will, just like lust would, bitterness is a sin that will take and will pull you away from God. And the Bible says here, it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, which means pulling you away from God, causing problems in your life, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness is not something that just sits in your life and does not bother anybody else. Everyone who is around you is uncomfortable. Everyone who is around you, it affects and influences. We need to guard our hearts against bitterness. We need to guard our hearts against a wicked thought life. Wicked thought life. You know, many people say, well, Pastor, come on, my thought life, isn't that mine? I mean, shouldn't I be able to think what I want to? I mean, that no one even sees it, Pastor. Well, the Bible tells us that though we walk in the flesh, which means we walk where everyone sees our outside, we do not war after the flesh. We're not warring against one another. But instead, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What the Bible says, that anything that puts it up against the knowledge of God, what you know is right, something that compares itself to what God's wisdom is, says casting down imaginations and everything high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And listen to this next phrase, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we really truly want a pure, undivided heart, we're going to worry about our thought life. What is it that you think about? And to be honest with you, if they could put down that screen and put everything you thought in the last week up there, I'm sure most of us would be embarrassed. Probably most of you would be embarrassed to think about what you've been thinking about since you entered into this service. Think about, you probably would be ashamed of it, wouldn't you? See, the Bible tells us if we really, truly want to have a pure heart, we're going to have to guard against a wicked thought life. Also, we need to guard against bad influences. Bad influences. The Bible says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? We need to be careful who our friends are. If we really, truly care about our heart, and we really want a pure heart, if we really want to have a heart for God, we need to guard it, and we need to guard it against the wrong influences. The Bible is saying you were running well, but who hindered you? It's a story like Amnon, who was so much in love with his half-sister, but he would never do anything to hurt her. But the Bible says Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And what did he do? He got him to pull away from what was right, and he ended up raping his sister. Isn't that horrible? That's what influences will do in your life. Next thing is that we need to guard our heart from is pride and stubbornness. Pride and stubbornness. And one thing we need to be on the watch for. And these are just things to help us remind. We need to be watching out for the things we look at. We need to be watching out for the things we listen to. We need to be looking out for bitterness. We need to be looking out. If we're going to be a guard, if we're going to be watching, these are things we're going to recognize and say, hey, the Bible says I need to work on this. I need to put up certain guidelines to stop this from entering my heart. Pride and selflessness and stubbornness. There's a picture of somebody in the Old Testament that does this. In 1 Samuel 10:9. Saul was given, and it says, the Bible says, was given a new heart. It says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. But the Bible is saying here, Saul was chosen to be the first king of Israel. And when, as God had brought Saul and Samuel together, as he turned away from Samuel, the Bible says he was given a new heart. That new heart, now it's not talking about the flesh-pumping organ that's in us. It's saying that it was given a new heart, and he was going to be able to rule Israel well. He was going to be able to do everything God had enabled him to be the king he needed to be. And it says that five chapters later, a few years later, you know what happens? His pride. See, God had told him to take out a nation, to get rid of everything in the nation. But Samuel, in his pride, did things his own way. And his stubbornness, which is as a sin of witchcraft, and his stubbornness, you know what he did? He did things his own way. You know what God did? He disqualified him as king. He says, I'm going to go find me a man after my own heart. And he went and found David. So Saul here received a new heart to be able to do the work that God had called him to do. And what does he do? He allows his own self-will and his own stubbornness and his own pride of wanting to do things his own way to pull him away from doing it the way that God wants him to do it, and begins doing things his own way. Say, Pastor, that is a man that lived thousands of years ago. How does that apply to us? And this is how it all comes together. If you're a Christian here today, what is a Christian? A Christian is not a person that just comes to church. A Christian is not a person that just has his name on a membership of a roll of a church. A Christian is not just somebody who throws things in the money in the offering plate or sings songs or tries to treat everybody right. Those are all good things, but that's not what a Christian is. A Christian is a person at one point in time in their life saw the fact that they were a sinner and that they needed a Savior, and they asked Christ to save their sins. Because Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross, and they saw that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And they asked Christ to save them. That's what makes a Christian. When you become a Christian, the Bible says that you become a new man. And that means that, in a sense, you get a new heart. You're supposed to have new desires. You're supposed to have new longings. Yes, you still have your old flesh. Yes, you're still going to want to be doing these other things you used to do, but your heart has changed. You're supposed to have a heart for God, and you're supposed to be living for God. Just as Saul, when he turned away from Samuel, received a new heart to do the work that God had called him to do, when we became a believer, we had a new heart that was replaced in us to do the work that God's called us to do. But in our own lives, what we have done is we see God's way, but we have allowed things to get in between us and God, and we have turned, just like Solomon's heart was turned away by the idols and by the women, we have allowed sometimes stubbornness, sometimes self-will, sometimes pleasures, sometimes activities, sometimes family, sometimes bitterness, sometimes anxiety. We have let all these things come between us and God, and these things have pulled us away from God. We must learn to begin to build walls and guards up in our lives, to be able to say, I'm not going to let these things affect my heart for God. Last but not least, one thing we need to guard, last thing we need to guard our heart from is the world. You say, we need to guard the heart from the trees and the planet. No, the worldly system that we live in, the world's entertainment, the world's music, the world's television. You know, the Bible teaches, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we need to understand that the things of this world can pull us away from God. You say, Pastor, my music's not going to pull me away from God. If your music is speaking things of wickedness and evil, whether it be country music or whether it be rock music or whether it be music that acts like it's worldly music, you know, if that is pulling you away from God, you're not even going to realize it, because of the fact that you've allowed that message to become between you and God. Because in your stubbornness and your self-will, you've said, hey, I know what I want to do despite what God might have me to do. Think about what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10. It says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was a man who used to serve with Paul. Demas was a man that Paul commended. Demas was a man that Paul said was a fellow helper. But he said, he's left me. He doesn't want to serve anymore with me because he loved this world too much. This morning, ask yourself this question. Where is my heart at? Where is my heart? Do I have a heart for God? And then go back and say, you know what? My heart's not undivided. My heart is not pure. Ask yourself, what has caused your heart to be pulled away from God? What is it in your life that is pulling your heart away from God? Think about it. With Solomon, it was those women. It was the false idols. He knew what was right. He still went ahead and did what was wrong. He didn't think it was going to hurt him. He didn't think it was going to bother him. He didn't think it was going to cause him any issues. And you notice it said when he was an old man, it meant for a little while he kept on trying to stay right. He kept on trying to keep his heart pure and keep his heart clean, but he allowed little things in him. When he was an old man, it says it turned his heart away from God. Saul, he began well, but Saul later on as king, it turned his heart right from him because he wanted to do things his own way. And what happens in the end? At the end of Saul's life, what does he say? He said, I played the fool. He had the opportunity to be the great king, first great king of Israel, and at the end of his life, he wasted it. He did not do the things God wanted him to. Instead, he spent most of his life chasing after David, and he says, I have played the fool. Christian, what is it in your life that's pulling your heart away from God? You say, Pastor, there's nothing. Well, if there's nothing that's pulling your heart away from God, I bet you it's because you have some guidelines. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Maintain it, preserve it, put up barriers in your life, make commitments to God of what you're not going to look at, what you're not going to listen to, whether that you're going to stay on top of bitterness, that you're going to stay on top of being angry. You're going to put up these guidelines and these walls in your life. Your heart is worth it. You have something precious that God has given you. He's given you a new heart. He's given you a heart to serve him with. What have you done with that? Have you taken that heart and allowed it to be pulled away by sports, pulled away by money, pulled away by, there are so many things that Satan tries to buy for our attention, and he knows if he can get your focus off of him and placed on something else, he's got you. Because once you don't have a heart from God, those things are going to be drawing you away. And it could be anything. Does something have the number one priority in your life? God is, as we heard the choir sing, he is supposed to be our master. He is supposed to be the head. He is supposed to sit on the center of that seat of our throne. Remember, our heart, it expresses our thoughts, expresses our wills, expresses our emotions. That's where God wants to be at. This morning, are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding the heart of your children? Are you guarding the heart of your grandchildren? Are you guarding the heart of your mate? All these different things. We need to guard our heart because of the fact that it can turn us away from God, because of the fact that it is deceitful, and because of the fact that it's where the issues of life come from. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Its heads bowed and the eyes closed.